On this week's Rain on Your Parade, I discuss how I've failed at comedy and law and why anybody going to law school today is crazy. Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I am J.L. Covan, and I'm here with a special guest, producer Mike. How are you?
I'm a special guest today.
Well, it's just to throw the people off.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know.
You're such a trickster.
Well, yeah, with a hard R. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, man. I can't complain. It's starting to get disgustingly hot outside, so that is a bit of a bummer. But outside of that, you know, getting by.
Good. Yeah, it is getting hot outside, and I'm wearing, to just meet the requirement, I'm wearing my Making Podcast Great Again t-shirt exposed, but I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt that has been on the show this year.
Yes.
So this is my way of skirting a violation of my pledge.
Yep.
Because I had a little bit of a breakout on the forearms. That is the last time I jerk off an elephant with an STD. No, I just had a reaction to the sun, I think. I think I'm becoming a vampire.
Yeah.
Or the angry Irish is taking over. The Haitian is receding in my gene pool and I'm becoming more Irish.
Yeah.
Either way, I had a bet and I didn't want to like gross people out. You know, skin, as innocuous, skin rashes are just, it's gross.
Yeah.
It does, and I don't even know if people could really see from a distance, but like if you're up next to me on a sweaty subway, sorry, ma'am.
Yep.
Or sir.
Yeah,
it's gross. But not the woman who placed her suitcase on my foot on the subway on the way here. Not sorry to her. I would smear this fucking thing on her face.
She's coming in hot.
Woo! I'm just getting warmed up. I get to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
To do the show.
Yeah.
And I get off the subway. And it was mostly okay. Just the woman put her suitcase on my foot briefly.
Yeah.
Didn't apologize. As mm-hmm. You know, that was the end of the story. The end of the story was nothing happened. Nobody said anything.
Yeah.
So I go to Starbucks near here to get a green tea, an iced green tea, and a croissant.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was getting lightheaded because I'm eating right.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is when you've eaten poorly for a long time, all of a sudden, you hit 5:30 on a day where you're eating perfectly. You're like, "Am I dying?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening?"
Yes.
So I walk up to the cashier. There's nobody's there, and of course, I get the one employee because I've been into this Starbucks a few times, and I get the one employee who does the thing where she like walks up to the register, and it's like the Diddy GIF from The Voice, or it's High Noon. It's just like a stare down. And I'm just, it's not that I'm waiting for you to welcome me with trumpets blaring like I'm royalty. It's just, I'm assuming you weren't like, can I, you know, you just a general, oh, can I help you or next? Whatever. So I walk up, she says nothing. And so I make my order and I'm obviously at this point disgusted
mm-hmm.
at the poor customer service. I step to the side, next woman behind me, hello. Oh, so it's me.
And the world strikes again.
And I almost
the world out to get
I
jail.
Am what I am. What I am is basically if you wanted to make a dark, dystopian, violent Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like what if Larry David were 6'6", 250? Like
and
what
bloodthirsty.
What if Larry David were Jack Reacher?
Yeah, right.
That woman didn't say excuse me, and she's now dead on the train tracks.
Yeah.
Reacher strikes again. So then I leave there, and I go to Trader Joe's to get my large bottle of water for 79 cents. I'm definitely getting a lot of those forever plastics.
Yeah.
You can't get away with 79 cents for this giant bottle of water.
The microplastics in your...
I'm getting PFABs up the a-hole. And a woman drops an apple. Now, if you're familiar with the Trader Joe's, this apple rolled a good 20 feet.
Yeah.
From the apples to, like, the candy or something. And I look, and this woman kind of, the woman who did it, blonde white woman, looks. But the woman at Starbucks was a woman of color. So mm-hmm. this is really just people. Well, right now, just women. Let's
yeah.
be honest. Woman with the suitcase. Woman with the attitude at Starbucks. Woman with the apple.
Yeah.
Alpha Male Podcast. Andrew Tate checking in here. And she lets it roll, doesn't even make an attempt to pick it up. So I go, and if you could have seen the video of me doing this, I pick it up and just go. and walk it back over, place it right in front of the woman, and she says nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have said, oh, thanks. I know, I'm a broken record, but, and I said this on stage in Larchmont this past weekend. It was a phenomenal show, by the way, in Larchmont. A lot of people there, none of my fans showed up. So thank you once again. You are the, as I like to say, the wind between my cheeks. Do you get it?
That's, yeah, it was a fart.
Yeah, it's a fart joke, yeah. Instead of wind beneath my wings.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Bette Midler. You weren't even alive when Beaches came out.
Yeah, but I know that's a pretty common reference, I think.
I think Beaches was such a good story, if you think about it. The talented one doesn't get cancer. That's what I've always been hinging my luck on. It's like, I eat like shit. I'm incredibly angry and unhappy.
Yeah.
But I got talent. And if Beaches is real.
The one movie.
Then it's going to be the hacks I hang out with,
yeah,
that are fucking on life support.
Yeah.
While I'm writing movies about them, getting,
yeah,
yeah, blown.
Yeah.
You know, going, ah, I miss you.
Yeah, yeah.
In my mansion.
Yeah.
So, place the apple and then I made my way here. So it is like, you know, Jesus had the fishes and the loaves, you know, the baskets were bursting, like, with, you know, just greatest magic trick maybe since, you know, I mean, he had a lot of them. Lazarus, rise from the dead.
Yeah.
Blind guy, you can see.
Yeah.
Water into wine. That's almost like his opening.
Yeah.
And then the fishes and the loaves. And it's kind of like, I feel like that's me for experiences that anger me. It's just my cup runneth over.
Mm-hmm.
Got some gigs coming up this month.
Tell me about them, JL.
Although technically not this month because it's still May. June 13th, Mohegan Sun, or as Jay calls it, Mohican Sun, because he thinks Daniel Day-Lewis is going to show up. But Mohegan Sun, live, making podcasts great again. I just did like a Just One of the Guys.
Yeah.
Did you see that movie?
I don't think so.
Man. One of the greatest 80s movies of all time. And for a generation, your first glimpse
at boobs,
at huge boobs.
Okay, cool.
She plays a man. Like, she goes undercover. She's a reporter. She goes undercover as a guy.
Yeah.
And then to prove to the guy she likes at the end of the movie that she's actually not a guy, she rips open her tuxedo for the token 80s comedy
tits
boob shot.
Yeah.
But A++.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those. It's
there were
movie.
So many tits in the movies in the 80s.
Yeah.
Just constantly.
Then we got woke.
Yeah.
No, and that became
thanks
like real. Then it became like real. It wasn't just like, isn't that fun?
Yeah.
It was like, no, here's, you know, this
hardcore.
Guy, here's hardcore porn.
Yeah.
With a thin layer of cloth between,
yeah,
the two of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Mohegan Sun, June 13th, live, making podcasts great again. Come on out to the casino. Watch me lose a lot of money after the show. It's kind
he
of
loves
two,
the gamble.
Two for one.
Yeah.
So June 13th, making a podcast great again at Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. And obviously my special half, Blackface. Mike, last week we are up to 18 reviews.
That's great.
We went from 8 to 18. Where do you think we are this week? I already know.
Well, since you're bringing it up, I'll say 2. Because
four.
No, all 20, right, wow.
We're at 22.
Yeah.
So, you know, between the 3,000 people who listen to my two podcasts.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks. Do I do this? If you're watching,
yeah,
video, do,
yeah,
this.
There you,
like,
go.
You know, this is what it really is,
yeah,
for those watching video. So if you haven't watched it, please go watch it. It's on Amazon Prime and Tubi, and leave a nice review on Amazon. Please, 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 please. Now, before we get to the main topic today, which is going to be lawyers, but it's not going to be like lawyers generally speaking. It's going to be my journey as a lawyer and possibly saving law students, people mired in law careers they don't like. I want to break down the apocalypse. Climate change is one apocalyptic landscape that we're headed towards. The legal profession is another.
Interesting.
Yes. And who better? I am all four horsemen,
yeah,
of the legal.
We were going to make the same joke. I was going to make a four horsemen joke too.
But before we get to that, because I gamble so much, Mike,
yeah,
and maybe we'll come up with some graphics for this one day.
It won't be tomorrow.
Right. I should probably, because you already have to edit something.
Yes.
I should just stop gambling. The best way to kill this segment, because I am having no success.
Right.
None.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Kreider alone has cost me like $400 in the last month.
Yeah.
And he just keeps going out there and not scoring goals when I bet on him.
Yeah.
Game I don't bet on him, hat trick.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
So, but this week we have a gambling villain of the week. Now, I didn't bring my Adam Sandler get up from Uncut Gems, so I apologize to the folks who like that. KG. So I got last week. But our gambling villain of the week. Now I'm going to read to the folks what the, and then we'll take a break and we'll get to our main topic. Mm. Your favorite part of the show, break.
The break. Yep.
Like your favorite class in elementary school was recess.
Oh, sure was.
Mine was social studies.
Oh yeah.
It was a 5-way tie between all the A's I got, let's be honest. But I did a parlay. Kiss of death.
Yeah.
I did a parlay.
You can't help yourself, can you?
No, I can't. Maybe I do have a problem, but it feels good.
Okay.
It feels good. Like my dad, when he quit smoking, he did it cold turkey.
Yep.
Because I said he couldn't. He loved doing the thing where I would say, Dad, you can't, like a teenage me, like 13 years old. It's like, Dad, you can't quit. You're addicted. Because I just heard all this. He goes, oh,
yeah.
Just quit that day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's, like he had like happy spite. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. I have angry spite.
Right.
He had, my son doesn't think I can quit. He listens to the commercials who say, oh, addicted. Oh, okay. I'm addicted. 10 years later, he goes, guess what today is? And I go, what? I stopped smoking 10 years ago. You said, Daddy, you can't quit. I said, I didn't call you Daddy. I was 14.
Yeah.
In his mind, I always called him Dad. Like he was like, of course. Like I'm a blonde in the South and he's like some fat oil man.
Yeah, yeah.
But I always thought that was great, but he ate a lot more sugar.
Right.
So he quit smoking, started eating more snacks.
You got to have something.
So gambling is like, as I try to eat healthy, I think gambling is taking over.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the age-old question, everybody. Maybe comment. Here's a question. Would you rather be broke but have all your limbs or missing a foot and have more money?
Did your dad lose a foot?
No. I'm saying for me.
Oh.
If I'm trading in snacks for gambling.
Because you think that it's a fait accompli. If you up the sugar intake, that's that for the feet.
At least one.
Okay.
At least one.
Okay.
and the scary thing is I lose both feet. I'm 6'5".
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Still scary.
And somehow angrier. But I made a parlay bet. And now, of course, because, you know, FanDuel is just like the fucking suckers online again.
Oh, yeah. They know.
I get the boost. They give me the profit boost. 50%. If I line up a parlay, that's a plus 400 or greater.
Yeah.
They give me the 50% boost. So I bet $50. That's the one discipline I've shown. I've lowered my automatic from 100 to 50.
Yeah.
It allows me to make two bad bets a night instead of just one. Thank you, Rangers, for the other $50 that you lost for me. But I said Minnesota Timberwolves money line, meaning they're going to win.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
Karl Anthony Towns, much maligned in this Dallas-Minnesota series. Three or more three-pointers made. He was shooting like 4 for 22 from three for the series. Hit 4 of 5, I believe.
Mm.
Boom. And then Naz Reid, sixth man of the year, coming off a 23 or 25-point performance in game 3. I said, he'll get 15.
Yeah.
Now, this is not an updated photo, but I believe he got 8. Ah. Scored 8 points.
Not what you want.
So that went from a $646 payout to a $50 hole. So Naz Reid, Naz only needs one mic. Naz Reid, you just had to score 7 more fucking points. So thanks, Naz Reid. You're the gambling villain of the week. Graphics. This is how I win. So with that fun note, we're going to talk lawyers, the legal profession, and the apocalypse that is coming to both after this break. And we're back. Mike, how was that break for you?
You know it's my favorite part of the show. I've never had a bad break on Rain on Your Parade.
A lot of self-care during the break. It's good. You got to do that. You got to take care of yourself. But I wanted to talk about today. We've got some interesting episodes coming up.
Yes.
Just to give people a little preview. We're going to talk reading. I know that may sound, but we're going to have a great guest for that one.
Yep.
And it's a topic I'm very passionate about. And it also plays into my old man screaming at the kids kind of vibe. So if you're bored by the thought of reading, well, you're on the wrong podcast to begin with.
Right.
And then we're going to talk Christian nationalism at the end of the month also. So some, and trust me, I'd tell you if these were going to be dog shit episodes, they're going to be real good. But today I thought to myself, you know what? I'm a lawyer and I'm going through some struggles in my legal quote unquote career. And I thought, why don't I talk about being a lawyer and where I think the legal profession is headed?
And I said, sounds great.
And it felt like you used a sarcastic font when you replied. Which I took as a challenge because one of my gifts is taking the boring and making it excruciating.
Yes.
No, but I'm going to and feel free to interject with questions, comments, et cetera. But I'm going to take people on a little bit of a journey. Okay. That may be relatable. And I know to my fans, let me just put it to you this way. If you have a son or a grandson or a daughter or a granddaughter who's applying to law school, pondering a career change, whatever they may be, or if you're a lawyer, retired or otherwise, because I know my fan base is skews older, share it with them. Share this episode with them because this is going to be a fun, sort of scared straight kind of episode about being a lawyer. Now, I always thought about being a lawyer because I didn't feel like I had a knack for business. Like I was good at math, but not like, you know, I took AP calculus. I got a 3 on the exam. So I was certainly competent.
3 out of 5. Oh, good.
Which is just basically the equivalent of like a pass, but it's not worth any college credit. Okay, but I was good enough to keep being an honors.
You were good at math? It's not shocking, but it's
for
not.
For a while. I wish I was better. Yeah. Because to me, math is one of those subjects where I go, and this is the respect I'll give to the science and math people. Obviously, memorizing facts and being able to write great things is a talent and a skill. But math and science are sort of like, well, it's right or wrong.
Right.
And the more of these you can get right.
Right.
You are objectively like, if you get a 98 on your test and somebody gets 100, you're like, well, shit, they're better at math.
Right.
There's no like, well, the teacher liked this better. And so by the time I got to the end of high school, I was like, I met my match. I was like a B plus, A minus math student for most of my life. And then I was like a B minus calculus student. I was like, okay, I think I've, because it doesn't feel like one of those things where it's like, I'm going to train myself to be like a better math mind. It feels like something a little bit that you have.
Yeah.
I really liked chemistry as far as science goes, but I always knew I was probably going to have a career either in the NBA or in the humanities. Mm-hmm. It was one of those two. And so I always liked history. I was like, I'll probably major in history in college. I did well in the SAT. I had good grades. I had a lot of APs. I was editor of my high school newspaper. I played basketball.
Yeah.
Williams College, got in. Didn't even need help from the basketball team. So I was like a player to be named later. My coach was like, I need this guy, and I guess we can let him practice too.
Yeah.
But all through college, I was like a mediocre student. And I was like, what do I do now? I guess like I've always liked lawyers in movies.
Yeah.
That's where the love, like.
You saw The Firm and you were like.
Not The Firm, A Few Good Men.
Okay.
Still Tom Cruise.
Still Tom Cruise, right.
As I've joked before, I said, so you get to yell at Jack Nicholson and titty fuck peak Demi Moore. Sounds good. So I was never much for the Atticus Finch model of lawyering. I wanted to be the cool TV Tom Cruise
right,
lawyer.
Of course.
Not the fighting
LA law.
Fighting for justice.
Yeah.
This poor man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Had the temerity.
Yeah.
I take the LSAT, not knowing what I'm going to do with my life, and I do all right on the LSAT, and then I get into a bunch of good law schools, waitlisted, and then rejected from Columbia, my first and only rejection from a school in my life. But they probably knew that I was not going to go for their wokeness 25 years later. Okay? My $50 donations would have dried up quick if I saw that nonsense on my beloved Columbia campus.
Yeah.
So
they said this guy, he's going to be thinking about the hostages. We can't have him in here.
So I go to Georgetown for law school, and it was between Georgetown and Michigan. Those were the top two schools. Now, Michigan was ranked higher, but Georgetown was in D.C. I had been in a small college town for 4 years. I thought, let me get to a city. Let me get back to the East, you know, like a city. And D.C. for law just feels like, you know.
Yeah,
if you're not at Yale or Harvard, like D.C. just feels like a great place to be.
Totally.
And my then girlfriend wanted me to go to Michigan because she was going to Ohio State Medical School.
Right.
And I had cheated on her in spring break of senior year and confessed.
Ah.
So she obviously felt like a Big Ten coalition would have brought us closer to marriage and me farther from cheating.
Sure.
She was right. My joke, and I can say this with distance, my joke about cheating is when you have fucked another woman and you've broken that unholy seal, I never cheated on her. I never had sex with another woman while I was dating her because I was so racked with guilt over what had happened in spring break. Made out a lot, though, in D.C. It felt like lesser included crimes. I was like, you already have me for murder one.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto? Sure. And so that's what I basically did for a lot of law school. I drank a lot. I got depressed. Midway through law school, my father said to me, do you want to quit? And my dad was not a lawyer, but his father was an esteemed lawyer in Haiti. And his grandfather, my great-grandfather, was on the Supreme Court in Haiti. Mm-hmm. So for him to say that to me, he could see how bummed I was, like, about law school. And I said, I'm halfway through. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. I'll finish.
Yeah.
Terrible choice.
Really?
Because then I was like, because I found a new hobby that's lifting my spirits in law school.
Yeah.
Stand-up comedy. I'm hitting up like 4 open mics a night. It's keeping me balanced.
Yeah.
So law school leads me both to being a lawyer, bad choice, and being a comedian, worse choice. So I finish law school, and that's the first thing I'm going to tell you right now, anybody pondering law school. Wisconsin does it right. I know this is super boring to you. I don't care. Wisconsin, when you graduate a law school in Wisconsin, you've automatically passed the bar in Wisconsin, which makes sense because then the school, the learning, the education is like exactly what you need to practice in that state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, if I go to Wisconsin law school and then go to New York, I'm fucked. I got to like take a bar course and everything. But that's the first thing. Law school is like disconnected. Law school teaches you to become a good clerk and a good law professor.
Right.
Look around. What percentage of lawyers do you think are law professors or clerks for judges? A small percentage.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just like nodding my head.
Let me put it this way. There's like 5 billion lawyers and like 200 law schools.
Got it. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah.
So the first thing is law school is, I don't want to say it's a waste of time, because like I said, you walk around Washington, D.C. for 3 years with a six-pack and a Georgetown law ID, you can do a lot. But other than that, it's totally useless.
Yeah.
Now, my first job out of law school is I go to the Bronx DA's office because I didn't do well in law school. And I don't mean that to disrespect the Bronx DA's office, but you go to Georgetown, you know, we were coming out of 9/11. The economy actually did kind of suck.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2 years earlier, you know, it was great. Like my second week of law school was 9/11. Yikes. So the job market like did not recover for a couple of years. And when you look like a potential hijacker, it also hurts your job interview prospects, I think.
Did you though?
What?
Look like a potential hijacker?
Oh, yeah. People would share. One time there was a guy who was in Al-Qaeda when they were putting up those. And somebody a comedian had one time been like, this is like you, Jay. And I was like, that actually does.
Really? Yeah. I don't get that from you at all.
It's just when I was tan and skinnier, it was like just a kind of Egyptian Algerian kind of look.
Right.
That's what I said when I watched the World Cup for the first time and saw Algeria. I said, oh, there I am. And Northern African. That's the vibe I give off.
Yeah.
So law school was fun, and I did not make the most of it. And I always wonder why people go to law school. Now, this is a long story. When I get to the end of it, people will realize, oh, this is why he was telling his personal story, but he now knows where law is headed and why going to law school is an insane decision. People love shitting on college. Mm-hmm. That's like very, because more people go to college than law school, obviously.
Sure, of course.
It's a subset of people who've gone to college. College is way more valuable going forward than law school. I genuinely believe, unless you are, just like people will say, hey, if you want to be like a doctor or a specialist or something, well, you have to go to college. But other than that, you can do whatever you want in some other field. Law is the same thing, except it's more expensive and it's more schooling and it's like more rigorous and fucking soul crushing. Mm. In the future, unless you are going to be a clerk for a judge or a high-end lawyer, if you are in that limited percentage that get great jobs and are willing to, by the way, sell their souls and lives for a decade to amass the wealth to pay off your debt, it's like every argument against college, law school has double, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I go to the Bronx DA's office and I start to be exposed to, you know, the law enforcement side of law. And as I've joked, but also meant it, cops cheat. Cops are not good people.
Yeah.
And they often cheat with prosecutors in their offices. Mm. Now, I know at the DA's office, it was kind of funny. You shouldn't give 25-year-olds fresh out of law school with subpoena power their own office with a lock on the door. It's just not a good, we are not to be trusted. Mm-hmm. And I say we, meaning not me, but I had to leave there for two reasons. I felt like I was becoming a little bigoted.
Yeah.
Which is a scary feeling.
Yes, you mentioned.
So, yeah.
Against Puerto Rican guys and...
Latin people in general. If your name ended in a Z, you were on my naughty list. but there was that. And also I was engaged to somebody who was like, you should get a job at a firm because you can make more money. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I never thought I'd be dating somebody who would say such a thing. But, you know... I'm in love right now, so that just feels like good advice, good counsel. So I went to a law firm, and that was the only job I've ever had that I thought, like, I like this place. So then the financial crisis hit, and I got laid off. But I wasn't good at the job, because I liked comedy at the time. And this is the thing, second lesson, I don't know what lesson we're on, but anybody who's thinking about going to law school, that has to be your passion. And I think a lot of people would go, my passion? Yeah, exactly. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. Because I had something else I was interested in. So I was never going to be as dedicated like I needed to be, because you have to learn on the job. Law school does not train you to be a lawyer. So you have to, when you get out of law school, you have to be like, I can't wait to work this job and learn all the intricacies of it. I stayed at the DA's office for 3 years. I learned that most people are garbage. And I'm not talking about criminals. I'm talking about the people who throw in criminals in jail.
Yeah.
And that's a level of disillusionment. But then I get to this firm and I'm only there for like a little less than a year and a half, but I wasn't good at it because I had to jump right in. And once again, I didn't feel like I wanted to learn this stuff. I just wanted a good job with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, I was like, yeah, they laid a lot of people off in 2009, but they laid me off like 4 months earlier. So the layoffs for the economy tanking were in like June of 2009. I got laid off in February of 2009 when they were like, we'll have to make some cuts eventually and those will be tough. But I think we all know the one guy who should go now. And that was me. So that leaves me in sort of a wasteland, legal wasteland. So I say, no, but I was just on Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. My comedy is going to take off. I spend all my savings over the next 3 years thinking I was going to make it. So that enters the new field of law, which is like probably employs half of lawyers in America now. And this is the thing that I really need to warn people about. It's called document review.
Okay.
Now, if you've ever dated a lawyer who worked for a firm, if you ask them about document review, they'll be like, oh, yeah, that's how I bill all my hours. Basically, what it means is in my position, somebody like me, I go to an agency and work for an hourly wage that is beneath someone with a law degree, because there are so many lawyers now that need some kind of employment, that these are like cattle calls where a firm will say, hey, we need 50 trolls to look at emails for the next 4 months because we are billing this major company millions of dollars to litigate against another huge company and hope that like the dick measuring contest ends up in our favor when we settle.
Yeah.
So now you've gone from learning, you know, my peak legal marketability was out of law school. And now all those things have atrophied. Now you've asked me to look at contracts before.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
I've had people ask me to look at things and it's like, I am honest enough to go, I'm practically not a lawyer anymore.
That can't be true.
It is true because if I were like a dude who had a shingle outside a house and I handle wills, I handle criminal cases, I write a deed to your house. Some country lawyer who has all the skills,
yeah,
you know, like a general practice doctor, you know, like a doctor keeps doing doctor things.
Right.
Lawyers either specialize or atrophy. There's very few general practitioners. I wish I was one of those guys.
Yeah.
But if you don't get on that path early, it's not viable.
Right.
So document review is like the lowest level, and this is where we're headed, where we've oversaturated the market with lawyers because it became law school, and I will say this, law school, unlike medical school, there's no bar to entry, barrier to entry. You just go, I'll use myself as an example. My grades are all right, but I test well. Being a lawyer sounds not like a fucking loser. I go to law school.
Yeah.
Whereas medical school is like you have to know at 18 that you're going to be a doctor. And then you have to fucking fight through 4 years of rigorous college study.
Right.
Like prescribed curriculum.
Yes.
Organic chemistry weeds out like 2/3 of the people are like, I'm pre-med. And all of a sudden they're like, finance, bro. I'm going to fucking make a ton of money and bang checks.
Yeah.
But you make it through that. Then you have like 7 to 10 more years of education and clinical work. And then you're a doctor. Very hard for somebody to become a doctor and at that point be like, I don't know.
Right.
You've had so many rigorous opportunities to quit. Law school's like, yeah, I majored in leisure studies at University of Florida. My name is Aaron Hernandez, but I got a 161 on the LSAT, so I guess I'll go to a mid-level law school. So it starts very early. We've oversaturated the market with law students and lawyers. And I always get disappointed when somebody says, I'm going to law school. I go, why?
Yeah.
Like, and doc review now is it's like the dumping ground. It's like, and the rates, by the way, are getting lower.
So, I mean, that sounds like there's a lot of people doing it.
Before I had my job, my 4-year job at a big law firm from 2019 to 2023, as a staff attorney, which was a glorified doc reviewer.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get a lot of additional skills despite working for a major firm for 4 years.
Yeah.
So when I try to go for another job utilizing the firm name, I realize, oh, I'm just a glorified doc reviewer again. Like they're asking me to do things that I was just never asked to do, which then make me look kind of like a stunad.
Yeah.
Like, but you were here for 4 years. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Would you please teach me these things?
Yeah.
Even though in my heart, I'm like, but I don't want to learn these things.
Right.
I don't want to do this job. And so the rate before I got that job in 2019, the average was like 33 an hour. The average now is 30 an hour. That's not a good trajectory. Trying to scare you people. It's not a good trajectory when you're a lawyer and your wage is going down. And that brings me to AI, because more projects now I'm seeing is like, we ran this through technology assisted review.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that sounds very clinical, very, very computer. That's like very technical. It's AI.
Yeah.
It's like they realize, oh, you know what's better than hiring 50 flunky lawyers? Buying one program and then hiring 10 flunky lawyers to just review that.
Yeah.
And I know this was sort of a boring, long story. But
some might argue.
Some can argue that. But that is where we are headed in the legal profession.
Yeah.
And most people going to law school, I don't think realize. Now, if you have some other plan, you know, I do like the people who are like, I just wanted to get a law degree before I do. I go, well, you're very blessed if you can do 3 years at like 70 grand a pop, just so it's on the resume.
Yeah.
But for those people who are thinking, I'm going to have a job, I'm going to work at a big firm, that may be true for a few of you. Most of you will be like, why the fuck did I do this? Mm-hmm. And imagine trying. I feel terrible for people who I see who are like newer lawyers. Like I at least had some, I lived at home for a couple of years. I had assistance with tuition from my parents. And I lived at home 2 years and paid off like the remainder of my debt while living at home as a 25-year-old lawyer. Mm-hmm. But I see people who graduate law school and it's like they go, you know, they go to a third-tier law school and they go right to document review. It's like, imagine spending three more years in school, spending six figures, and then your reward is a $30 an hour job that AI is
about
coming
to take.
For.
Yeah, right.
And I just think people are so, you know, it's very fashionable to be like, college is a fucking hoax, bro. College is the biggest scam. Free Palestine. Mm-hmm. Have I hit all the right buzzwords? Law school is like laughing at college. It's like, no, college is still pretty useful.
I mean, I can't argue that it might be less useful than law school because I didn't go to law school, but I can tell you, well, where did you go to undergrad?
Williams.
I don't know. In this day and age, college seems like a scam to me at this point, but it does sound like law school could be a bigger scam if half of these jobs that you're talking about are
right.
about to get ripped. But this is the bigger question, JL. Isn't everybody's job about to get ripped away? By you'd think that any of these jobs would be secure. Every field goes, well, hey, I can't come for my job. Now we're hearing it about lawyers.
Yeah.
At some point, you're probably going to hear it in the medical profession. They might not replace surgeons, but I bet there's plenty of mid-level nursing jobs or whatever that are going to go away because of some kind of AI.
Who will do the TikTok videos then, Mike?
It's the only viable American enterprise that's left is influencing.
Oh.
Truthfully.
And that's, yeah, I mean, it's
show business, I guess. And even that is going to get affected by,
yeah. We've talked often about, we don't need AI in comedy because people are like, algorithm, please don't replace me. I'll suck your dick.
Yeah, right, right.
But law to me is one of those. It's like if you are, I know I have some lawyers who listen to this, and I wanted to. I know that was sort of a monologue, and yeah. I don't usually like this show to be like that. But I felt like I am sitting here, and the reason I was pondering this is I am sitting here at 45. My comedy career may be over, and I don't say that. This is not me. Woe is me saying that. This is me facing facts. Mm-hmm. It frustrates me because I never think I got my fair shot. I think I've accomplished a lot that was deserving of more of a look. I think I'm certainly deserving of better fans. But not you guys, the other ones. And but to have spent 20 years, really, I mean 23 years since law school started and 21 years since I picked up a microphone, to have both careers staring at me as like kind of over. Like you would think, oh, people will say this. They will say, it's like, oh, you have a law degree. You can always fall back on it. No, I'm telling you, no. I'm telling you, no, there is not a way to maintain this parallel of like, oh, I'm a very marketable lawyer who happens to have dedicated two decades of his life to stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Because I've sacrificed along that way. Now, if people don't do that, that's one thing. If they just commit themselves to their legal career. If I just stayed at the Bronx DA's office, I'd be vested in a pension and probably making like low six figures a year. Mm-hmm. with like 6 weeks of vacation and good government benefits. Now, I know that may sound to some people, and to when I say some people, I mean like women in their 20s who think like, I want somebody who's, I love those conversations when I was in my late 20s. And it was like, I want somebody who's like passionate about what they do. It's like, wake the fuck up.
Okay. Yeah.
Now
yeah.
It is one of those things where it's like, it's like, and I remember this one woman I did, very, very attractive Russian chick, but she had 2008, you already know what year.
Mm-hmm.
And she, thank you, Timbaland. Cue up the Timbaland and Coldplay. But I remember her saying, because my comedy career was kicking ass at the time, yeah, and I was fucking shredded. So like me being a lawyer was almost like, it was like cool that I was just like, you know, I just fucking make bank and go to good schools because that's how I do.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm about this gym life, this club life, this comedy life.
Because it's the way you are.
It is the way I are. And so it was like, I remember her almost being like, oh yeah, because I wouldn't want to like dig. I was like, just a lawyer. And in my head, of course, I'm like, well, I'm not just a lawyer, but give me a break.
Right.
Even at that age, even though I was benefiting from what I brought to the table.
Yeah.
I was like, give me a break. Who are you?
Yeah. It's funny. Cause I had always said that about women that I had dated too. And then I went out with somebody, I guess in the beginning of the year, March, February, maybe, who was just very upfront about the fact that she was like, I don't really like my job and I don't really like working, period. I'm not passionate about what I do and I don't care. Like I have a job, I work, I get it done, I go home. And I was kind of like, huh.
Do you think,
well, that's pretty refreshing.
But do
you
know? Do you think like, was she, if I may ask, was she attractive?
Yes.
Do you think an attractive woman telling a man, I'm not really, is like, oh wow, that's so, like, I like the honesty, and yeah, and it also probably triggers something in the back of your brain, like, I'll provide for you. I'll be.
It didn't, not in my
no,
brain.
No,
but,
no, no, but I'm saying.
I can understand.
Subconsciously,
yeah.
It's like, whereas if I were on a date with a woman.
Right.
Imagine me not fat and bitter. If I'm on a date with a woman and I'm just going like, I mean, this is very funny how shallow we are as people, because I remember having conversations in bars with women and I was literally just like, I fucking hate, like, I hate my job. Like, I just be like, but a woman would be like into me and just was like, no, no, but come on. Like, I'm like, no, no, I'm telling, like, I know you don't want this to be me.
Yeah.
You want me to be fun because you're, saw me at the bar and wanted to strike up a conversation, but I'm like, no, this ain't it.
Yeah.
I hate my life.
Yeah.
And when a guy does that, it's very off putting. Like, I don't really like my job. Like, my job sucks. I don't, women want a guy to be.
Well, people, I don't think it's just women. Like,
but I feel like a woman could get away with sort of saying, I don't really like my job. Like, and you're like, oh, okay.
Well, I think from a generational standpoint, that's changing a little bit. Because
women are becoming lazy pieces of shit as well.
Yeah, well,
Good luck, mankind.
I think that the workforce in general, just the way jobs are right now and kind of how...
The way I are, the way jobs are.
The way jobs are. I think people are just like kind of disillusioned with these jobs, these like middle management kind of like sending emails, pushing things around kind of jobs. It's like, you know, everybody's got to work to live, I suppose. But like,
but I think,
you know, how many people are actually passionate about what they do? It's probably not many.
I'm not even passionate about the thing I was passionate about. I hate comedy now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I'm in this.
Join me, JL. But, welcome.
I will never give in to the dark side. And that's what made me think about law, because I'm like, well, if comedy ends, what do I do?
Yeah.
And for so many people, me having a law degree from a prestigious law school is kind of like, well, you'll be fine. And I'm like, I will not be fine. This is the problem. And I'm trying to tell other people, like the ghost of Christmas past, like, don't, you better know what you want to do with your law degree before you go to law school. Because I think, like me, there's a lot of people who are like, I'll treat it like more college. Like, mm-hmm. like I'm majoring in law now. Now I know I'm going to be a lawyer and we'll figure it out there. And I'm like, no, have a focus or don't go.
Mm-hmm.
And I like with your idea of middle management, sending emails and all that, I get it. But I think that the theme of this show is always basically the crumbling of society. And I feel like I know my mom and dad did not like their jobs. My dad's employment record was a little spottier. But my mom, it was like, yeah, but I have a family. So like, this is what it takes. And I feel like maybe with people delaying family, maybe with
yeah,
people doing,
could be that.
Is that it's like, well, I don't have a higher like the job is only paying my rent. It's not fulfilling, like it's not part of an equation with a higher value. It's like, yeah, this just lets me sleep in my apartment and like buy food. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why. But as far as, basically, I don't know where I'll be in 5 years. Like if I was at a job interview, I'd be like, well, if you look at your actuarial table, I think there's probably a chance I'll be dead in 5 years. But if you're asking me career wise, I'm even more clueless than that. But yeah, my law, it's like I've done a lot of things in my law career and it amounts to nothing. And that's a scary thought because I'm now a 45-year-old man. Like if I wanted to, this is the scary part of all this. If I wanted to say, okay, I'm gonna intern somewhere and just start building up a different skill set. Mm-hmm. A lot of places will go, no thanks.
Yep.
Like, no, you don't get it. I have a law degree and I just want to like, I'm interested in this field and I really want to like get back to the basics. No, because we're going to just hire somebody and pay them, but not waste our time like having you audit our workplace. And so the point is, everybody, don't become a lawyer. The profession is going to disappear. Unless you're fucking Thurgood Marshall or Ruth Bader Ginsburg, don't fucking go to law school. Okay? Corporations don't need you. And the fewer people go to law school, maybe by the time I'm 65, we'll be back here for like the 10,000th episode of Rain on Your Parade. And I'll go, guess what, Mike? All the lawyers are dead. I was named partner because there's only 19 of us left. I'm rich. So with that, fuck law school, fuck the legal profession, unless you're a potential employer, at which point I will send you my resume, and we'll be back with Comedy Talk.
And now, from the Slickback Studios newsroom in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, here is Scott Pelley with a Rain on Your Parade special report.
This is Scott Pelley on assignment for 60 Minutes with JL's Punchdown of the Week. JL wrote on X, formerly known as Twitter, "Some of America is too stupid. Some of America is too lazy. Some of America is too blinded by hate. That's your 60% of America, a majority of the moronic, the meandering, and the malevolent." Now, JL was quote tweeting something saying 60% of America thinks that we're in a recession, Mike. Those would be stupid people.
Right.
So a follower of JL replied, "You forgot the craven and the rapacious." Now, Mike, normally I don't stick around for this part. But what JL was doing with a majority of the moronic, the meandering, and the malevolent,
yes,
was what's known as an alliteration.
Oh.
And this person said, "You forgot the craven and rapacious." No, you didn't. Goodbye.
Oh, hadn't heard from Scott in a while. And it's always good to have him in here. He is such a well-spoken, jacked guy.
Yeah, he knew this episode. I think he knows that some of these topics are not, but being a serious journalist, when he saw the law profession,
yeah,
he was like, this is more, I think these are my people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be one of these Vinny
yeah.
culture shallow episodes.
Right.
It's going to be something substantive.
It's not going to be something entertaining.
Well, no. To the C-SPAN and the PBS crowd, I think they're going to love this episode. Never underestimate. Like I said, I know my audience. I said, tell your grandkids to watch this as a warning from the future. But the special, watched a special, and that just annoyed me that somebody didn't pay. It's not, it wasn't so much a joke.
The punch sound?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just more of a, you didn't see the theme with the muh. And then the people always have to say, you forgot the, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't forget.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, worst episode on Mike Coscarelli's IMDb page. This is getting Metacritic is Micacritic. This is not going to be a good one for him, but it's something I had to get off my chest.
Yeah, listen, it's like that sometimes.
It is. We got some good episodes coming up. I'm fine with this one. And some of the fans, Mike, might actually say, kind of interesting to hear JL's academic journey.
They might.
What led him to be a failure in not one, but two professions.
Yeah.
So special, Rachel Feinstein.
Stein. Yeah.
Rachel Feinstein. I always forget. I've worked with her before. Her special is Big Guy. Which I thought, I was like, well, we work together. Is this about me? Mm-hmm. It's not about me.
No.
And something about, I guess it's legs are in, you know, between Glazer and Rachel, you hit the calf machine, you hit the lunges and you put on a short skirt and do some stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And her legs are not wanting. They are strong. And, so is the special. It started out. And if anybody who's familiar with Rachel, it's on Netflix. Anybody who's familiar with her stand-up, she leans a little bit into the voices, like, and especially I worked with her like 10 years ago, but you know, kind of like the old timey characters. But she's a very good stand-up. But sometimes I would think, just my personal taste, it'd be like, I can lean a little into the, you know, hey, what are you doing, fella? Get out of here, you know. And she leans into it a little bit to start because she's basically making fun of her husband, who's like a blue-collar guy, firefighter. And she makes him kind of sound kind of dumb, which she might be. Who knows? Probably a Ranger fan, though. Let's be honest. We know he's
definitely
a Ranger fan.
Definitely a Ranger fan, yeah.
But outside of that, which is like thematically it's a big part of the show, but outside of kind of leaning on the like, hey, babe, kind of character she's doing,
yeah,
it's a very good special. It doesn't lag. Whatever it was, 56 minutes. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. And I do like her impression of her mom. Cause it's like, it's different. She's like a character person. I do impressions. She does characters.
Mm-hmm.
But they're unique enough, but I like her mom impression a lot, which I had seen before, but not her husband one. I felt like she leaned on a little too much, but that would be my only critique. So if you want to support women in comedy, okay, which this podcast does.
We do.
But it's also just a very good special, and she's easy on the eyes, which sometimes I feel bad.
So much for supporting women in comedy.
Hey, she's the one with the toned legs and the short skirt. Sorry. But just like I said with Glazer, I'm like,
yep.
She's going up there. She's knowing she looks. They know they look good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so it's not, sure. It's not like, oh, me?
Yeah.
Like, but sometimes I wonder because there isn't that same pressure on male comics. You know what I mean? Not to get into a whole other discussion, but it's like the Matt Rifes of the world are rare.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's also like, who gives a shit? Like, dumb housewives and idiotic young women are not going to be my audience ever.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's not a ton of, it becomes a thing. I feel like there's plenty of okay looking male comics, but women, it seems like, I sometimes wonder, is there pressure to be, is it like acting? You know, you can be like a character actor
as
a man,
yes.
But as a woman, it's like, oh, you're very funny. And the huff.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it is.
So I just want to, you know, I'm trying to follow the trends in entertainment. So I'm just going to say, let me amend what I said. This is a podcast that supports attractive women comedians. One of the things is I've gone against the grain of the industry too long.
Yeah.
And look where I am. I'm a failed lawyer and failed comedian.
Yeah.
Maybe if I get on board with the trends, they'll say, okay, JL knows what's up now. So attractive, funny women, you will always have a place at Rain on Your Parade. And hopefully we didn't lose you with the law talk. So on that note, Mike, 1 out of 10, how would you rate this episode?
I don't feel comfortable doing that. I really don't.
Oh, and I do have a note. I do have a note. If people are still listening.
They're not.
YouTube comments. Yeah. Don't send me, and to defend Mike.
Yeah.
To defend Mike and to wake him up with a defense as the episode ends.
I heard my name.
don't go to law school. No.
Well,
if Mike last week was not necessarily speaking for himself with a lot of the things he was bringing up, he was speaking on behalf of the young communists and traitors that he associates with. So when you send me messages on different platforms of like, show this to Mike, send this to Mike, what was Mike thinking? Two things.
You got a lot of that?
I got a few.
Yeah?
I would just say, first off, even if you're critical.
Yeah.
If you're going to write on the show, write it on the YouTube comments.
Yeah.
And that'll probably make people be a slight more respectful. But I also think people were misrepresenting what you were doing. And I tried to defend you, basically saying he was speaking for a disillusioned young population, but not speaking for himself with everything he said.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make that clear. But to reiterate, engage on the YouTube is appreciated and requested. And hey, Mike would love to see you trashing this episode in the comments.
I would.
Don't do it disingenuously.
Yeah.
Don't just do it to be like, "JL, this one sucked."
Yeah.
If you liked it,
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And if you didn't, or you thought, whatever your comment is, we ask that you be respectful, but be honest. Not too honest though. Be honest, but don't tell me how to do my job. Just tell me whether you liked it or not.
That's right. Yeah.
When people go, "You should have," no, that's your overstepping.
Yeah.
That's, I would rather you say, "I hated this episode," than "JL, it would have been better had you done," no.
Yeah.
And yeah, give it 5 stars on whatever your preferred audio platform is. But thank you for letting me get this off my chest. Mike, audience.
Yes, of course. I just also want to say, if you want to hear more of, if you guys thought that I sounded like a communist on this show last week, go on over the new episode that's coming out of Mike Coscarelli Rules. It will be out by the time this episode drops. Check that out, because you hear the other, we referenced the conversation that JL and I had, but I have it with my associate producer, Ronnie, who's like a big part of Slickback Studios here, who is essentially the communist that I was talking about. So if you really want to see what Gen Z thinks about what's going to happen for during the election and what might be the future of the democracy, really, that's a good place to go check it out.
Awesome. Yes, and I can vouch for it, I listen to Mike Coscarelli Rules, and the funny thing about it is you will hear Mike sound like me. Like, it's all relative. He will sound, you'll be like, "Wow, this 35-year-old sounds like the 45-year-old on this episode with the 25-year-old.
Right.
So it's all relative. That should be the name. How about that? That will be a special episode when we all sit in the same room together.
Yeah.
But thank you for either listening or tolerating this episode. Thank you for letting me get it off my chest. It's just, I'm at a crossroads right now. You know, you reach 45, you got 2 failed careers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people don't even get to fail at one. And I've already failed at 2. I'm like the Bo Jackson of fucking up my life. So on that note, everybody, thank you. See you next Thursday.